is good to be back here, Desert Church Christ, once again. I have this opportunity to preach God's word. With all the things that have been going on, and all the negative things that we hear on the news, it's a little bit of relief to be able to hear some good news from God's word. This morning, I want to take a look at Isaiah chapter 41, verses 8 through 10. Isaiah chapter 41, verses 8 through 10. And I want to use as a subject of my sermon, to fear or not to fear. And it reads, "But you, Israel, are my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the descendants of Abraham, my friend, you, whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from its farthest regions and said to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not cast you away. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Our scripture this morning starts off talking to Israel. Isaiah started the entire chapter off referencing the people of distant lands He uses, in verse number one, he says, "Keep silence before me, O coastlands, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near them, let them speak." And through these verses from 1 through 7, he's talking about those who are participating in idolatry. And talking about his judgment that is coming upon those who are participating in these activities. But yet in verse number 8, he's talking to the nation of Israel, but not just to the nation of Israel. This is similar to what Paul was talking about in in Romans chapter 1, verse 8 through 25, when he talks about how, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." So it's clear in this section, he has a problem with those idol worshipers. Now, and he is making a distinction between them and the people in verse 8. The first group would make God into whatever image suits them. But God's people acknowledge God as being their master and Lord. Twice in this verse, he calls Israel his servant. Now, although verse 8 does start by saying Israel, he goes on to say the descendants of Abraham. And as Galatians 3:7 tells us, "Therefore we know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham." So it's clear he's not just talking here to the nation of Israel, but all those who call on God through faith, because through faith we are all children of Abraham. And just in case they get lifted up in pride, he goes on to say, Jacob, whom I chose. Now, if you have taken time to look at the life of Jacob, you realize that when God came to him, he was not exactly the kind of man that would be a shining example of a man of God. Okay, he was a deceiver. He was one who participated in lying quite effectively, if you really ask me. but here it is. God chose him and shaped and molded him into being the man that he wanted him to be. In the same way, he shaped and molded Jacob's descendants into a nation. It is God who makes us great, not us. It is him that deserves the praise and glory for what we become, for whatever great accomplishments we make in this world. Throughout history, though, there are those that have been followers of God who have not only failed to live up to God's expectations, but in the process have begun to lose sight of their own issues and look down on other people. And even today, there are those in the church that have had the habit of looking down on people in the world and don't believe, they look at other people who look down on people, other people who do not believe the way that they believe. And in some cases, don't look the way that they look. There are those that shun and belittle people over the smallest, silliest little things, and even political differences. I saw a Facebook post that said, too many of God's people look through windows when they should be looking in mirrors. Amen. We have to always keep in mind that the only thing that makes us special is the fact that God has chosen to work in us. Through faith, we are God's people, and he is helping us to make right the things that we have done wrong. As he told Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 7, and verse 6 through 8, for you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all peoples of the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love on you, nor chose you because you were more in number than any other people. For you were the least of all peoples. But because the Lord loves you, and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers. The last thing he says in that verse is the descendants of Abraham, my friend. When I looked at this, it reminded me of what Jesus said to the disciples in John chapter 15. In verse 15, when he said, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You know, it's a wonderful thing to be chosen to be redeemed from our sins. It's a wonderful thing to know that we've been chosen to be the children of God and chosen to have a friend in Jesus. Amen. You know, it's true now, that so true that we can say that we have friends in high places. He says in verse 9, you whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from his farthest regions, instead of avoiding us and leaving us in our sin, God called us out of the world and said to you, you are my servant. Very word church means those who have been called out. Amen. As our creator, God would be well within his rights to give into the temptation to just wipe us out. He would be well within his rights to just completely start all over and do a new thing. But instead of focusing on our destruction, he makes promises for our salvation. He says in Isaiah chapter 41, in verse 10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. In this last verse, he clearly points out that the people of God should not allow the stumbling block of fear to be the main focus in the experiences of life. Over the years, Gallup polls have asked the public opinion on a variety of different subjects. One of the subjects asks about the most urgent health problems facing our country. This has been asked a total of 26 times since 1987. It has at least listed at least several different concerns that many Americans have had, from healthcare costs to healthcare access. And the highest percentage stated in 1987 was attributed to AIDS at 62%. The most recent Gallup poll states that 69% of Americans name COVID-19 specifically, or viruses generally, as the most urgent health problem facing the United States. And we all know that this past year, all the way up to this last month, have presented many people in our country and even around the world with an overabundance of reasons to be fearful. From not just a worldwide pandemic, but the resulting shutdown, job losses, the loss of friends and loved ones, violent protests and riots. A lot is said in Scripture in relation to fear. That we looked at that this morning and looked at all the different ways in which it talks about fear. And one thing is abundantly clear. We shouldn't be constantly riddled with anxiety and worried about the things that threaten our lives and our happiness. God's people should have courage when facing the challenges of this world, because God has promised to be with us every step of the way. Amen. Fear has been defined as an unpleasant attitude of anxiety or distress caused by concern over an awareness and or reality of danger or threat to one's future. Now, with that definition, it makes it sometimes seem that fear is just in our heads. And most of the time, it is just in our heads. But fear is not always something that is just in our heads. Some have used the anagram fear as false evidence appearing real. While it is true, a lot of the circumstances that we face may cause us to be afraid unnecessarily. Many of the fears that we are facing in life are genuine threats to our well-being. But it doesn't matter whether those threats come from economic troubles, from the people in the world, from health concerns, or even death. Today, a lot of people are afraid, not just of what has already taken place, but many people are unsure about the future. No matter what your political standings are today, there are many of us that have very real concern about the direction our country is headed. Politically, economically, and whether this virus is going to continue to be a problem even as they roll out the vaccines. There is so many reasons that this world has given us to be afraid. But God said, "Fear not,
Amen.
For I am with you." When it seems like the whole world has abandoned you, when it seems like your friends and family have hung you out to dry, God says, "Don't be afraid. I'll be there for you." Amen. Psalm chapter 46 says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea." You know, I've had a lot of situations in my life where anxieties were high. Just last year was truly the most traumatic year of my life. You know, we were displaced from our home. We had to go to a shelter. My kidneys began to fail. My father passed away. Barbara's mother passed away. It was a really, truly rough year for us. And there were times when I really was given into the temptation to just be afraid of what was coming next. But through it all, I kept my faith in God.
Amen.
Every step of the way, I knew it was God that was with us. I knew that we would not be able to make it through these situations if we did not trust that God had our best interests at heart. Mm-hmm. It was only because of him that we made it through. And now, just like God, just like Job, God has turned our situation around. Mm-hmm. He said, "Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you." Notice, he didn't say that he was going to keep you from experiencing bad things. Mm-hmm. Notice that he didn't say that you were never going to experience any type of hardship. But he said, "I will strengthen you. I will work the circumstance out for your good." Mm-hmm. He promised to strengthen us. Some of us would love to believe that we don't need anyone to help us through the things that we go through. Some of us would love to believe that that we are so strong that we can handle anything that comes our way. But the truth of the matter is, there are a lot of circumstances in life that are truly overwhelming, even for the strongest of us. Mm-hmm. When things are chaotic, and even if this whole world should fade away, there is nothing that we truly need to fear as long as God is our refuge. He knows what you're anxious about. And there is no problem too big or too little for God to help you with. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5 echoes God's word from Deuteronomy 31 and 6 and 8 when he said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." It's important that we don't let the troubles that we face in this world become bigger than our God. Many of us, at times, when we start going through some things, we end up being like a person who can't swim, who gets tossed into 3 feet of water. We start flailing our arms and start panicking. We don't know what to do, and we're almost about to drown ourselves because we're just panicking, spending so much time panicking. When all at the whole time, all we need to do is plant our feet on the ground beneath us. The fact is, these circumstances in this world, they may seem like they're unbearable. They may scare you and make you want to panic. But God said, "I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Amen. It's God who is the one who is supporting us. It's God is the one who is helping us through these circumstances. We all know the sort of the footprints in the sand. You know, through the hardest trouble of my life, that Jesus was walking with me. And when he looked back, there was only one set of footprints. Because through the whole time, God was carrying you through. Realize and understand that as a child of God, you are never, ever alone. Even by yourself, in the room, when you're in your bed and nobody else is around, God is with you. Mm-hmm. He loves you. He cares about you. The Bible says that every hair on our heads are numbered. God doesn't take time to have that much detail about us and not care about the things that we care about. Mm-hmm. He is not so far from us that he is removed by what is moving us. Mm-hmm. Maybe we don't know everything the future has in store for us. But when we know God, we don't need to know the future. We don't have to fret over every single little detail. Just like a child trusts their parents for all that they need, so we also, as the children of God, need to trust that he is watching over us and protecting us. God is committed to us. The only real question is, are we committed to him? This morning, realize and understand that the fears that we have in this world were given to us for a reason. They are meant to be there to help us to be aware, not for us to draw back, not for us to be ones who are so afraid to take action, to move. These days we are following the state protocol and having our safe distance from one another, staying 6 feet away from everybody. And that's all fine with me. We want to make sure that we are healthy. But we cannot be so afraid to live our lives because we are afraid of what may take place. Ultimately, Even if we lose our lives in this world, we are in God's hands. Amen. Jesus already told us, he that believes in me, though you die, yet shall you live. Amen. Realize that God has you. God's saying, I got you. God has our back. No other person in this world can be there for us like God can. Amen. So realize and trust that he's here for you. Put your faith in him. Realize and understand that life is going to throw a lot of things your way. But when you put your faith in God, there's nothing that will overtake you that God does not allow.
Amen.
This morning, maybe there are those that have committed themselves to God, who have allowed circumstances and situations to overwhelm them. And maybe you are a little afraid of what has been happening and what's going on. Trust that God has the ability to keep you through all the things that you go through.
Amen.
Put your faith in him, not in the people, not in the vaccines, not in our government, not in the situations of this life, but in the one who loves you. And will never fail you. This morning, whatever your needs are, let them be known as together we stand and sing our invitation song.